What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And joining us now on the phone, it's our guy Zach Harper from The Athletic. Zach, what's up, dude?
What's going on?
Basking in another glorious D.C. day of news where we get a major announcement about our football team on a Monday when I just really want to talk about the NBA playoffs. So that's our last two Mondays.
Wait, I miss what happened today. I've been trying to unplug as much as I can on Mondays. What's going on?
So they announced today. So last weekend was that they're doing the RFK deal. They're going to try to bring the football team back. And today they announced that the 2027 NFL draft is coming to D.C.
Oh, that's all. Oh, I did see that. Yes, I did see that. Yeah. Is that exciting?
So we just talked about this for the first hour, like half hour of the show. I think it's mostly exciting. I think that, you know, as large cities that host these types of events go, one the size of, I don't know, a presidential inauguration, this one seems like it's pretty well equipped to host it. I actually do think, unlike a lot of places where it'd be like, oh, God, this is going to be a disaster, I think here it actually is.
I watch, you know, the first day of the draft. Like, I'll watch, well, not the first day. I watch the first, like, maybe 10 picks.
Okay.
Depending on like, where the 49ers are picking, right? Okay. I'll, like, watch the first 10 picks, and then if the 49ers are, like, somewhere in, like, the last half of the draft, of the first round, like, I'll then tune in for that. But it's long, and it's, man, it's awkward when they bring up everybody else. I don't like it when they bring up, like, random people to do it. I get it's, like, for the fans. Also, I hate it. I think it's so awkward.
I'm not saying that.
And painful.
Yes. No, I do agree. Like, now I'm like, what would be the NBA version of this? You know, last time we talked, Zach, we fixed the NBA draft lottery. Now do we want to break the NBA draft?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't mind breaking it, right? Like, my idea for this is I think the lottery should happen a half hour before the draft. Like, I think the prospects work out for everybody, you know, in the lead up process to the draft. And then a half hour before we have the lottery, and then you just have to scramble. To me, that's the best way to do it.
I mean, what better team building? You know, you better be prepared. Yeah. Also, I talked to an NBA executive who's been in the lottery room before. And I was like, why do you like that? Like, or is it torture? And he goes, no, like it is torture because you can't talk to anyone. Like, you're sequestered until the results are public,
right?
Which obviously, Zach, you know. But for the audience, like, there's two lotteries. There's the TV lottery, which is fake. And there's the real lottery, which happens behind closed doors. And if you're in there, like, you are sequestered, no phones, no nothing until they announce it's the same results, but until they announce the things publicly. But this executive was like, I like being in the room because during that time when I'm sequestered, I plan my first two phone calls the second I'm allowed to be back on my phone.
Oh.
And I was like, that's strategy. So that person, I can guarantee, hates your idea.
Well, for sure, but I'm not in it to make their lives easier. I'm in it for chaos and to make my job more fun.
And in which case, I think you're an expert in that. You're an expert in chaos.
if the chaos doesn't negatively affect me, I'm all for it.
Yeah. That's really why we're all in this. Okay, so to the basketball. Speaking of chaos and our jobs being fun, the Golden State Warriors got 3 points from Steph Curry in the first half last night. They then won the game by double digits, thanks in large part to the fact that Buddy Hield replaced Steph Curry scoring in the first half. Draymond, who has missed how many triple-doubles by not scoring in double digits, had double digits in the first half of this game. And to me, it kind of spoke to exactly who the Warriors are, a team that will figure out ways to win, and exactly who the Rockets are, which is a team that doesn't know how to do that. What did you make of how that series ended, the Warriors needing seven, but ultimately being able to figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, before the series, I had Warriors in seven, and it never bothered me that they were going to be on the road for a game seven, because it's against Houston. And not that this Houston team isn't good, but one, it's Steph Curry against the Rockets. Like, he always finds a way to torture them. And two, it's just a young team. Like, it's a very young core, and figuring out how to win against these veterans is going to be very tough. They had a great series, but closing that out is really difficult. We saw that, you know, similarly a couple of years ago against, with the Kings against the Warriors in that game seven at home. Like, it's tough to do when it's your first time in there. And so, Buddy Hield has uncharacteristically shot pretty poor from 3-point range this season. And I mean poor for him. Like, I think he was like 37-38%. And usually he's like 42-43%. So him hitting like that isn't surprising. It's a little surprising that it came out of nowhere, you know, based on how he had been playing. And I think the fact that in the latter half of this series, like, his defense was really good. That, you know, there's that clip of Steve Kerr kind of joking, I never thought I'd say this, but, you know, Buddy Hield set the tone defensively. I think that was game five that he said that after the game. And that stepping up, I mean, that just speaks to, you know, where the Warriors tend to be in these postseasons. And I know everyone wanted to joke about them, you know, blowing another 3-1 lead and everything, but this is the Warriors you expect in the postseason. Is that, all right, backs against the wall, they need to have this moment, especially on the road. They usually come up with a game like this. And then if you just leave the door open, Steph is eventually going to just ruin your life.
Right. And of course he did. And that is everything that we anticipated to happen. For this Rockets team, I actually think they're in a fascinating spot because they were the 2 seed in the West. That's incredible considering this Western Conference. I also don't really know where they go from here. Like, I guess Jalen Green could continue to get better, but I don't know that he's like one of the 7 best guys on the planet ever to lead you to a championship. I don't think Alperen Şengün gets to that level either. And at that point, you got to figure out how to go get one of those guys. Have the Rockets like accidentally hit a ceiling that's too low by hitting on a few draft picks they maybe shouldn't have, making maybe some free agent moves that accelerated their growth almost too fast? Like, where do the Rockets go from here, Zach? Because I think that's actually a pretty fascinating question that they need to really internally tussle with this offseason.
Oh, I disagree on Şengün. I think he's going to get a lot better. Like, I think he's awesome. Like, he's an all NBA player, and he's going to, you know, improve his mid-range and outside shot. He's going to improve his finishing inside. He'll improve his free throw shooting. Like, I think he's got a lot more to grow. Jalen Green is just a wild card. We're actually finding with, like, those G League Ignite guys, they really screwed up those prospects. You look at, like, Kuminga and Jalen Green and, like, a lot of those dudes. Like, they did those guys a huge disservice. I don't know how, but a lot of those guys either take a long time to get going or they just aren't any good at all. And so, you know, I don't know if Jalen Green's ever going to be consistent enough. The athleticism and the talent is there. Everyone just assumes, okay, they'll go trade for Kevin Durant. And it's like, okay, let's say they do. That's 2 seasons of something. Like, that's not really a long-term plan. They have a lot of flexibility. They have a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of young players they can move. There's been, you know, assumptions that they could go after Giannis based on his situation in Milwaukee. To me, you saw a glimpse of what that future looks like with Amen Thompson all of a sudden, like, just getting to the rack, right? Like, all of a sudden he was driving and everyone's like, oh, if he gets a jumper, I don't think he needs to get a jumper in order to become a star. Like, he just needs to realize that he can get to the rim whenever he wants. He is one of the best defenders in the league already. I think he's got a great ability to playmake. Like, he could be one of those elite players. And so if you have that plus Şengün getting better, and then you can go get, you know, a score. Like, they do need scoring. They do need shooting. They can't just have a bunch of athletic guys who can't shoot and just hope to get offensive rebounds all the time. But I would just go out and try to carefully bring in some shooting, bring in some role players. I don't think they need to make these big sweeping changes. I would almost run it back one more year unless that no-brainer trade is there to bring in a guy that absolutely, you know, fixes all those offensive woes for them. But I think they, like, you don't really need to rush it.
Let me throw a name at you. Atlanta calls and says, what do you want for Trey?
Oh, yeah, I think it would be interesting to, like, slide back and be a 42-win team and not have a defender out there and a guy who, like, he can't shoot. What are we doing? He shoots a lot. He shot 34% this year. We got to stop this with Trae Young. He's not, like, he's not that guy.
Fair enough. 34%.
He's a great distributor. He's a great distributor. Like, one of the best in the league.
He turns
the ball over like crazy. He's a terrible shooter for as much as he shoots and where he shoots. Like, I'm all good on the Trae Young thing.
He is so fascinating because if they need someone who can create shots, he can create them. The going in part is obviously necessary.
Yeah,
necessary
there are a lot of guys who can create shots. It's like the whole Seinfeld reservation thing. Anyone can make a reservation. You got to hold the reservation. Like, anyone can make a shot in the NBA, create a shot in the NBA. You got to make the damn thing.
Yeah, but him out on the break with their athletes, like, would you be willing to sacrifice some defensively? Sounds like for you, that's a hard no.
No, I'd rather have Fred VanVleet. Give me a shooter.
Oh, they I'm not giving shooting. Up VanVleet for him. Atlanta's like, hey, we need Fred. I'm like, you can buzz off. You can have Dylan Brooks, but I also am like the world's biggest Dylan Brooks hater. So
you and me are right there on Dylan Brooks. Yeah, he can go.
Yeah, no, see ya. Good riddance. Have a great time in Atlanta. Zach Harper from The Athletic is with us here on The Hoffman Show, covering the NBA for them. Podcast form, written form, all of the forms. So the other series that kicked off yesterday, or I guess that series obviously wrapped yesterday, series that kicks off yesterday, the Pacers upset the Cavs in game one of that series. Is this a Cleveland team that is actually in trouble? Are they perfectly fine here? Does it totally come down to Darius Garland? Like, how much trouble is Cleveland actually in here after losing game one at home?
I mean, they're in trouble. Like, Indiana's good. Indiana's been great since January 1st. Like, they've been the fourth best team in the league. Since January 1st, Cleveland is 35-14. Indiana's 34-14. Like, they're right there with them. They're, I think, seventh in offense, tied for ninth in defense. They were like sixth in net rating. Like, they've been a great all around team in 2025, and it's not a fluke. Like, they're a team that builds towards the playoffs, and they're better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. Like, this is a team you have to take seriously. Now, Cleveland can fix a lot of that. I don't think they're going to shoot, you know, 23% or whatever they shot from three. Defensively, they need to be a lot better. You know, I saw a lot of people dismissing Indiana's shooting. Like, oh, I shoot 50% from three in this series. I'm like, well, they keep getting the open looks that they got. They might, because Cleveland just defensively broke down a lot in what they were allowing. And I think you know, they've got to tighten things up. Darius Garland would help a lot, not defensively, but just in generating some offense and generating some good looks and knocking down threes. So if they can get him back on the floor from, what is it, a toe injury? If they can get him back on the floor, it just kind of sets things better in their rotation. But they're going to have to tighten up the defense. I think they'll win game two by a lot. And then they've got to go into Indiana and take at least one of those games. But Cleveland will probably be fine. I would expect this to be 2-2 after four games. But they have to take Indiana seriously. You know, I know a lot of us, you know, myself included, last year was like, yeah, Indiana probably made the conference finals because of injuries. And they probably did. But they took that experience and they built in the second half of this season with that experience, knowing what it's going to take. And this team is dangerous now.
Yeah. The other thing I love about Indiana, like, one, I'm a sucker, having covered Rick Carlisle in Dallas, that I think that dude's brilliant. Not always the most fun to cover. Just ask Tim McKay. Yeah. But if you like get to be around him on a regular basis, you're like, oh, you're a basketball genius. This is fun.
Right.
And he's been there. He's had mostly the same group of guys. Like, they play hard. There's just a known identity to them that I really appreciate. And I also can't exactly figure out why everyone hates Tyrese Halliburton, but that dude's confidence is really high. They believe in him. And I almost wonder if there's been a bit of a galvanizing thing around him where it's like, oh, you guys think this guy's overrated? Well, like, watch us just be us, and then you get the results that you've been getting, obviously, in the playoffs, but also, like you mentioned, in the second half of the regular season.
Yeah, the overrated thing is funny because if you really break it down, and it's kind of a fake thing, right? Like, we did this thing at The Athletic, this anonymous players poll, and by we, I mean I had nothing to do with it. I didn't do any work. I'm part of The Athletic. But we did this thing at The Athletic where we pulled, like, I want to say it was like 158 players, right? So it's about a third of the league. And of those 158 players, I want to say like 90 or 98 players answered the question of who's the most overrated in the league. And he got the most, he had the highest percentage, which was like 14%. So you're talking about like 13 votes, right? You're talking about like 13 votes from the NBA players of answering that question of like, yeah, Tyrese Halliburton. So it's not like this sweeping generalization across the league. Like, when you really break it down, it's nothing, but it's a great headline and it's a great galvanizing thing. Like, Michael Malone would always do that back when he had a job, would do these things with the Nuggets, in which he would take the littlest thing and use it as motivation for them, and it would work. Like, it's all that bulletin board material stuff, and it would work. And even he would admit, like, yeah, I'm stretching this stuff into, you know, just using it for whatever motivation. And I think Rick Carlisle and the Pacers have done this with Halliburton. I do think he's not totally well-liked because I think some players look at him as, like, kind of a front-runner trash talker. Like, he waits until they're up, and then he starts trash-talking, and then players don't like that. But everyone knows he's good. He's got like a 6-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He shoots like 50, 40, 80. Like, he's awesome. I think just players respect more when a player talks trash when they're behind as much as when they're ahead.
Speaking of avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start, Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Speaking of someone who will chalk trash whenever the hell he pleases, Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves now get the Warriors. There are so many subplots to this series, the Gobert, Draymond stuff, Jimmy going back to Minnesota for the first time. That should be fun. At the end of it, though, like, what's the most important one basketball-wise to the series? Because some of those things could be. Like, if Jimmy loses his mind, that could affect the game, good or bad, for Golden State. If Draymond decides to get thrown out 3 times in a 7-game series, that's probably not great for the Warriors. But I do feel like, you know, there's other ones in terms of who's going to guard Steph, who's going to guard Ant, that might have an actual bigger basketball impact. What to you is the number one thing you're watching basketball-wise in this series?
I think I'm writing about it today for the newsletter tomorrow, but I wonder if the Rockets gave the Timberwolves a blueprint of how to beat the Warriors. Because if you look at the Rockets in that series, even though they lost, that two big lineup of Şengün and Steven Adams, the numbers were like, they were pretty dominant with those two on the floor in that 7-game series. They were like plus 20 per 100 possessions. The offense was really good because they kept getting offensive rebounds and second chance points. And the defense was really good because they just walled off the paint. Well, the Wolves can do something similar with Gobert and Randall. It's not quite the offensive rebounding of Şengün and Adams, but we saw against the Lakers, against their, you know, 6'8" and under roster, what that could look like in that fifth game. I wonder, you know, the difference between Minnesota and Houston is like Minnesota's guys who can knock down shots. Like yeah. Anthony Edwards can obviously get hot. Jaden McDaniels can be pretty good offensively. Alexander Walker, Mike Conley, like Dante DiVincenzo. Like they have guys that can really consistently knock down shots. And then Randle can, you know, he's playing the best basketball of his career, in my opinion, over the last month and a half. So if that continues, that blueprint might actually really stifle a lot of what Golden State wants to do against them. In terms of like who guards Steph, they're going to throw everybody at him. Like Ant's going to guard him, McDaniel's going to guard him, Alexander Walker's going to guard him. I think they'll bring in this young guy, Jalen Clark, off the bench, who does a really good job of just chasing people around screens. He'll get a few minutes here and there. You know, you don't really guard Steph too much. I think it's going to be about stopping everybody else. But that blueprint, if Minnesota tries to go with just being bigger than the Warriors and seeing if that works, it might.
My question with Minnesota is simply, like, can I trust him? There's been so many moments for Gobert over the years. Ant hasn't had the breakthrough moment yet. It feels very much like yet, but he is, and it's not like he's volatile. He's just like, he's so confident. You're like, are you going to miss something? Are you going to try to skip a step because you're so confident? Which it looks fine now and could look ridiculous a week from now if they go out and he's dropping 40 a game. I fully realize that. But that's kind of my question, Zach, is we know what Golden State is. They've got so much pedigree. Do you trust Minnesota?
I mean, he beat KD. He beat Jokic. He just torched Luke and LeBron. I don't know what the breakthrough moment is. What's the breakthrough moment if he hasn't done, he's slaying legends left and right. He just got to get to the finals to have a breakthrough moment. Like, I don't know what more does he need to do.
That's the thing is, like, you know, there's been these moments where they're up, they look like they're the better team, and, you know, last year fall short. And I realize it's early. It's so early in his career. And, you know, guys like Tatum or guys like, I mean, shoot, LeBron, MJ, like, they took years and years and years. And that's really what it is, right? It's not like, hey, is he ever going to get there doubting him? It's just like, in the NBA, you typically have to take it one step at a time. That's what history tells us. And is he ready to take that next step? Or is it going to take till he's 25, 26? Is it taken plenty of other legends of the game? So it's not meant to, as like a insulting type of thing. It's just like, this is kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who is elite on both ends of the floor, who last year, like, got exhausted playing both ends of the floor. Everyone says, well, you got to improve your jumper. And then he went out and was, you know, the seventh most
led the league
in NBA history and shot 40% from three because he was like, okay, I guess I got to improve this. Like, I don't, like, if it's just about you have to get to the finals, okay. I just don't know what else, like, he has to do. Like, he has to beat Steph to then have made the leap. I don't know. Like, I would question the rest of it, of that roster. The rest of the roster, yeah, question them. But Ant, like, to me, he's, at 23 years old, he's about as stamped as it gets.
Yeah, and I think that's fair too, right? It's everyone else. Is okay, Randle, you've been playing this great. Can you keep it up? Gobert, you've had so many great moments. You've also been played off the floor in God knows how many playoff series. Can you figure it out? Naz Reid, you know, you're a role player. How hot do you get in this? So again, it's do you trust the Wolves, not do you trust Ant? And knowing that, like, typically it does take a few iterations for these superstars to finally break through, but maybe he's, maybe at 23, he's ready to just overcome all of that on his own damn self because he's actually that good at basketball. Last series I'll ask you about real quick on the way out here, Zach, is Zach Harper from The Athletic, their NBA writer, writes their daily newsletter, The Bounce, which you can check out on The Athletic's website and get sent to your inbox every single day, is the Knicks and Celtics series tonight. With Drew Holiday out, do the Knicks have a real shot, even though the betting favorites and everything going into the playoffs said the Celtics are going to romp through the Eastern Conference?
I just, man, it's, you know, Drew being out definitely helps the Knicks, but everything the Knicks are vulnerable at doing, the Celtics excel at. The Celtics hit 84 threes in their four games against the Knicks this year. 84. Like, that's so many in four games. I mean, they torched them. And, you know, regular season and playoffs are different, right? And the Knicks went into this season with the Karl Anthony Towns trade, with the Mikal Bridges trade, hoping that they had enough firepower and enough versatility to hang with a style like the Celtics. And random nights in the regular season don't necessarily mean anything when you get to the postseason. The Celtics are banged up. They haven't looked the best, but I just don't know if the Knicks want to play that style. To me, it's like it's like you're in 2015, 2016, and you're going into a game with the Warriors, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, let's play some pace and space. That sounds like a good idea. Like, I don't think the Knicks really want to do that. And I don't know if they can play another style. So I don't think they're going to get swept necessarily, but I think they need a second gear, a second plan of attack. And historically, Tom Thibodeau doesn't really have that. It's kind of just, we play this way and let's hope it works. Whereas I think the Celtics can kind of change things up a little bit. Now, if their threes aren't falling, we see them struggle quite a bit. At least in the four games we saw this year, man, those threes fell every single time.
Yeah, if they hit those, then like, yeah, it's curtains. And the other thing too about Tibbs teams always is like, they play so damn hard all the time that when everyone else plays hard, you're like, oh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
now. That's our level, right.
Yeah, yeah. Now what do we do? Cool. Zach Harper, writer of The Bounce, the Athletics Daily NBA newsletter, also doing podcasts, doing social content. He's everywhere. And we're glad to have him always here on The Hoffman Show. Zach, always appreciate the chat, sir. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
That's Zach Harper with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, we will welcome in our pal. It's just a day for great friends here on the show. Eric Flack, who, of course, is WSA9's chief investigative reporter. He has been anchoring and reporting on the D.C. getting the draft announcement all day. So Flack is going to check in. He's going to do a hit on WSA9 here at the top of the hour. He's going to get off TV, and then he's going to call us. So Flack is next for Not My Beat here on The Hoffman Show.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable! Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.